I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. David Schreck is a well-known commentator on political affairs here in British Columbia. He served as a special advisor to NDP premiers in the late 1990s and in 2000 to January 2001. He was also elected an NDP MLA from 1991 to 1996. He is now Secretary-Treasurer of the No-BC-STV campaign and is working towards defeating STV on May 12th. We'll discuss his opposition to STV and the current election campaign from his vantage point. His website is strategicthoughts.com. You can hear David regularly on CFAX with Mike Gagan Friday mornings. He was one of the very first guests on the program a few years ago, and I'm pleased to welcome back to the Plant Online program David Schreck. Good morning, Mr. Schreck.
Good morning, and thank you for that kind introduction.
It's been 4 years since you've been on, and I have to do better because I've enjoyed having you on over the years, and I don't know why it's taken so long since a return.
I'm always willing to appear on your show.
You've given John Van Dongen an award on your website?
Yes, well, actually Vaughn Palmer did, and I repeated what Vaughn said, and that is Hypocrite of the Year. I'm happy to see that Mr. Van Dongen has now resigned as Minister responsible for Public Safety and Solicitor General. What we have to ask is why for 4 days did Premier Campbell make excuses for him, saying he's paid his tickets, what's the big deal? Perhaps Gordon Campbell has a blind spot after spending time in a U.S. drunk tank himself.
Did you think this sort of stuff will resonate with voters?
I think that it will deeply disturb some voters. I don't know whether it would be a sufficient issue to tip the balance in the election, but I cannot remember the time a government lost a sitting cabinet minister 2 weeks before voting day.
Your debating partner, Mike Gagan, was on the program yesterday, and he thinks that there's a lot of sanctimony over this, that BCers will look at the Van Dongen situation and just think, well, he's just like me.
Well, I know that Mike, when I've debated him on CFAX, regularly speaks about the need, in his view, to raise speeding limits and how he thinks that we all should be driving much faster.
Yeah.
The Solicitor General doesn't enjoy that position because the Solicitor General is the one who features ICBC ads encouraging people to obey the law, slow down, and get the message across that speed kills. So when the Solicitor General has two infractions of excessive speeding. Now, excessive speeding is 40 kilometers or more over the posted limit, which means if the posted limit is 90K, you're doing over 130K. You cannot say that that is the kind of speeding that normal people do or that you normal people listening to this show may have in terms of the odd ticket. 40K or more over is very, very dangerous driving, and that's how John Van Dongen lost his ticket. And even my debating buddy, Mike Gagan, can't possibly justify reckless behavior like that.
And it seems that the Liberals have problems driving, don't they? They've got the candidate in Vancouver, downtown Vancouver, there, Laura McDermott. She's got multiple parking
tickets.
Well,
we have a premier that was convicted or pleaded guilty on drunk driving.
That's correct.
So what kind of position is he in to lay the law down for anybody else? Perhaps that's why he apologized and said, well, Van Dongen paid his tickets. Essentially, so what? He doesn't seem to understand the seriousness. I think what Van Dongen finally did and resigned when he was shamed by the families of those who have been killed by people who drive like that.
When you think about this candidate in Maple Ridge, Mark Dalton, and his emails from 12 years ago or so, and then you think of the NDP candidate in, Vancouver Falls Creek, Ray Lamb, who had to step aside, do you think that there was a lack of vetting of candidates in this election from both parties?
There's apples and oranges. In the case of Mr. Lamb, what you've got is embarrassing, somewhat childish behavior, but essentially behavior that did no one any harm between consenting adults. It was Mr. Lamb's decision to step down when he found that to be embarrassing. In the case of the homophobic letter to the editor, or email it was, it reflects an attitude where he is saying that, in his view, being gay or lesbian is a choice and a moral decision not a matter of how you are born. And the gay and lesbian community find that extremely offensive. And while he may have now say, well, he's sorry that if he offended anybody, the issue is not whether he offended anybody. The issue is whether he believes that or not, and that's an extremely offensive attitude. And the letters to the editor in today's Vancouver province attempt to portray that as being politically correct or not, and free speech or not. Well, it borders on whether or not it is hateful. It is such a fundamental and gross misunderstanding of the nature of the gay and lesbian community.
But you're internet savvy. I mean, if you had spent some time on the internet Googling these candidates, you would have found all this stuff, right? And we all would have.
And many would, although I must say I have a Facebook presence which I'm thinking of eliminating soon because I do not find that an easy tool to use. I suppose I need to have a lesson from a 12-year-old that I can understand how Mr. Lamb thought he had a private area and it wasn't so private after all. I take the attitude that everything I say and do in life is public. But then that's what happens when you're in politics long enough. You soon discover there is nothing that's private.
Now, your old party, the NDP, do you think that they've run a bad campaign? The pundits seem to say so.
The pundits had to write about something, so they were drinking their own bathwater a bit. The environmental groups that criticized the NDP are gung-ho on a carbon tax, and anybody who doesn't get on their little bandwagon, they will criticize. BC is the only jurisdiction in North America to have a carbon tax. To be effective, it would have to be over 25 cents a liter. It puts us in an extremely uncompetitive position, and it doesn't effectively control carbon emissions. So we're perfectly willing to engage in that debate. The fact that some proponents of this tax want to take on the NDP is not a setback for the NDP. It's an opportunity to express the NDP's policy position and why it's the right policy position.
But people who don't pay attention, perhaps, they just look at this and they say, well, that the environmentalists think the NDP is not going to do well on this issue, why should we vote for them? Did you think that there is that perception out there that the campaign has been sort of hapless on this?
No, I think that there's a split in the environmental community on each issue. If you go from carbon tax to fish farming to privatization of our rivers, on each one of those issues you have different environmental groups going one way or the other, and I do not think there are many voters who automatically vote the way David Suzuki may tell them to vote.
What do you think Carol James can do now to improve her campaign, or do you think it needs improving?
I think that Carol James is on the right track. I think you'll hear Carol James talking more about the privatization of our resources, including the privatization of our rivers. She'll be talking about the minimum wage and the need to protect jobs and incomes. I think you'll hear Carol talking about how Gordon Campbell broke a promise back in 2001 on providing residential care beds for seniors, and 8 years later, he still hasn't kept that promise.
Do you think she'll win on the 12th?
I think it's going to be a close contest. If you look at the Angus Reid or Ipsos, Angus Reid or Mastel Group polls, they give Campbell a 10-point advantage or better. Angus Reid's a little bit tighter. I think that the Liberals would be making a mistake if they continued their arrogance based on those polls, thinking that they're going to walk to a easy victory. Last time round, they lost 30 seats. They have to be concerned about losing seats this time. I think it will finish a very tight race.
Now, you're part of the No to STV campaign. Has there been polling on this?
Yes. Both sides have done polling. Ipsos Reid was commissioned by No STV to poll on our behalf, and both on the Ipsos Reid website and on nostv.org, the Ipsos Reid detailed tables and slideshow on our polling results is available for anyone who clicks on the net.
And what does it look like so far?
Well, it looks very much like it did in the early stages of the 2005 referendum, where 60% of the public said they don't know what STV is about, and many of them say they didn't even know there was a referendum. It's a very confusing system, And the indication we obtained in our poll indicates that the public shares that view, that it's a confusing system. Our poll also, much to our satisfaction, said that over 75% of the public believe that our current system is fair. So if the proponents of STD are counting on people being fundamentally unhappy with our current voting system, there is no indication in the polling that we did to support that there's a groundswell in the public that wants to throw out our system in favor of a very complex one. Although, our poll also showed that people are pretty evenly divided, those who have made up their mind. So it one cannot count on what the outcome of the referendum will be. The people who favor STD tend to be very enthusiastic about it. The people who oppose it tend to take the view that how can anybody support something like that? It's nothing to worry about. It can't possibly pass. Well, they're wrong. It could pass, and it would be with us for until at least 2025. That's a long time.
Now, there's some chatter on the Internet that the campaign that you're part of, the No STV campaign, it's run by you and Mr. Thielman, that it's really a lot of New Democrats who are behind this. Is it a nonpartisan group?
It is nonpartisan. The five founding directors of No STV are Bruce Strachan, a former social credit cabinet minister, and if you lived in Prince George, you would think that it's Bruce Strachan who is No STV, because he's the chief spokesperson in that area. Andrea Reimer, a Green Party member, a member of Vancouver City Council. The only reason you haven't heard more from Andrea during the course of this campaign is she's very tied up with council business in the city of Vancouver. Rick Dinard, who was a member of the Citizens Assembly, and again, he lives on the Sunshine Coast, and if you were following the campaign on the Sunshine Coast or parts of Vancouver Island, you would think that Rick is the face of No STV. Rick is totally nonpartisan. He's never belonged to a political party in his life.
Now, Rick,
in the lower mainland, Bill and I tend to be the spokespeople. In other parts of the province, we have other spokespeople.
Now, you just mentioned that Rick was a member of the Citizens Assembly. Now, they recommended this. So what's wrong with STV?
Oh, there's lots wrong with STV, all of which you'll see if you click on nostv.org. And at the Citizens Assembly in Ontario came up with a different recommendation. A Royal Commission in Prince Edward Island came up with yet another recommendation. And if you follow what's going on in politics in Ireland right now, there are many people in Ireland unhappy with the way STV has worked out in Ireland, and they're talking about electoral reform in Ireland. The first thing that's wrong with it and what's being criticized in Ireland right now are these multiple member constituencies. And the business of electing more than one MLA from any one defined area, that reduces the accountability of the MLAs, makes it easier for parties to hang on to power, makes it harder to have the kind of renewal we've had when we've gotten rid of Social Credit or the Progressive Conservatives or other parties over the course of Canadian political history. So the problems with STV are large, multiple-member constituencies that reduce local representation, replacing it with regional representation, reduce accountability of the MLAs, and relies on a voting system, a counting system that's extremely complex. They tell you it's as simple as 1, 2, 3 to mark your ballot, but what they don't tell you is you only get one vote, and the numbers are not separate votes. The numbers are ways that are instructions that are used in the counting process on how your one vote gets allocated depending on how the count unfolds. So if you mark it 1, 2, 3, your vote gets split into fractions, but you don't control whether your first preference gets half of a vote and your second preference gets a quarter of a vote, or whether your first preference gets nothing and your second preference gets 10% and your third preference gets 90%. All of the distribution of your ballot is up to how the count unfolds, and it's totally outside of your control. And that extremely complex counting system, the other side says, don't worry about it. Well, most of the public meetings I've attended and participated in debates at, the primary questions from the audience focus around how the count works. And I don't think people want to support and change to a system where the counting is so complex that they can't understand it.
But it seems for people who are looking for electoral reform that this is the last gasp. I mean, we've already, this will be the second.
And that's a mistake. You see, our coalition is a coalition of people, some of whom support mixed member proportional representation or other forms of proportional representation, and some of whom support the current system. What brings us together is opposition to STV. And if STV passes, it essentially freezes and stops any chance at electoral reform until at least 2025. If STV fails, electoral reform is still on the agenda, and depending on who forms the government, various options could be put before BC voters before the next election. Ms. James has said that if she's elected and STV passes, she would implement it. If she's elected and STV does not pass, she would put another option before the public. Well, the party position of the NDP is mixed member proportional representation. Mr. Campbell has not said what he would do depending on which outcome happens in the referendum. But Mr. Campbell has demonstrated an interest in electoral reform, and I believe if the vote is roughly 50-50, he would continue and offer British Columbians yet another option. So the exact opposite is true in terms of whether or not electoral reform is killed or not. Passing STV kills electoral reform until at least 2025, and then people by 2025 will have had a bitter experience, and if anything, will want to move back to first past the post. Killing STV keeps electoral reform on the agenda, and we can talk about true proportional representation, not this horribly complex system that relies on multiple member areas with populations of 200,000 to 300,000 people.
Now, are you saying that first past the post works?
I'm saying that every political system has its problems, and the flaws in our current system are not so bad that we should jump from the frying pan to the fire. If you want to compare the problems with our current system to the problems with STV, just look at politics in Ireland. I have a Google News alert set up on Dáil, or Dáil, depending on how you pronounce it, the Irish Parliament. And I get, thanks to that Google News alert, links daily from Irish newspapers about the political crisis in Ireland. It's openly accepted that the system is basically corrupt, Irish politics, that nepotism is rampant, that the parties have more political power than they have under our system, because in a multiple-member area, the parties only run as many candidates as they think they're going to elect, thereby making them safe seats. The Green Party of BC made a submission to the Citizens' Assembly in 2004 opposing STV. You can find that by clicking on nostv.org on our links. On the very top link on our link page is to the submission from the Green Party of BC to the Citizens' Assembly. What's interesting about that brief is they went to Ireland and they talked to the Green Party of Ireland about how STV really works. And they laid all of that out in their brief to the Citizens' Assembly, pointing out how the members of the Irish Parliament told the party line. In fact, the Green Party of Ireland said if a member of the Irish Parliament ever broke with their whip and voted against their party, it would be a national headline. It never happens. And they also pointed out how the parties have enormous power in limiting how many candidates run, and thereby turning all of their seats into safe seats.
So, I mean, if it were up to you, would we stick with it for first past the post, or would it?
If it were up to me, we would go the way they did in New Zealand. And what they did in New Zealand is they had two referendums. The first one asked two questions: do you want to change, and if you want to change, which of four alternatives do you want? On that vote, the majority said they wanted to change, and 17% favored STV. 70% favored mixed member proportional representation. The next year they had a runoff vote between MMP and First Past the Post. MMP passed, and that's why New Zealanders now have a voting system similar to what's used in Germany. British Columbians should be given the full menu of choices and asked the simple question, first and foremost, do you want change or not?
David, it's good talking to you today, and I hope it won't be another 4 years before you're on again.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. The websites again, strategicthoughts.com and nostv.org. David Schreck on the line. I'm Joseph Plana.